thank you, Jesus, that as we worship, Lord, we worship a single God. Worship is not towards people, Lord. It is towards you, God. Our God is one God, Lord. Three persons, but one God, Lord. And we declared, Lord, our voices declared the truth this morning, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will minister to us this morning, God. We are waiting on you, our King. Give your words of life this morning to us, that we might eat, that we might eat of it, Lord, and be satisfied, that we might think of it, Lord, and be clear, Lord, and be properly directed, Lord, to where we should go and how we should go, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in our midst. I'm weak, and you are strong. Amen.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay, a few weeks ago, I shared on heavenly treasures based upon Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4. We were here during that message. It was about doing things. Remember, we had a list up there. People put their hands up on things they were going to do. We said the next Sunday was going to be Testimony Sunday. That did not happen. But today is Testimony Sunday. No, I'm just... But I think the Testimony Sunday is not so much about what you did. Like, who remembered that Sunday? Like, it was like... Like, who put their hands up? I know it's a few weeks ago, but who put their hands up to do something? Because we have four people, five, six, seven. Okay, so there was a number of us. And Testimony Sunday is not so much about what we did. But what did God reveal to you whilst you were doing the thing that you committed to? Because I'll also share, and I won't put you on the spot because I've thought about this, but... I was, the things that I was going to share, like, or give food to someone, and also share the gospel. And what came, that through that two things, what was clear was there was a lot of hungry people around me. That God placed people around me that's hungry. There's people around you that are hungry. And only upon asking them was I able to know that they are hungry. They didn't show. I wasn't able to see this guy is hungry. But I had to engage. And I was just, yeah, it was because it wasn't planned, this one thing, but I was just in the process of doing something else. It was just clear that this person was starving. Like, food hungry, not word hungry. Like, I am desperately hungry. And she was just standing there doing her work, daily work, just seeing her every day, and yet, there she was. And it was, so for me, like, the act of righteousness is not the thing. It's what did God reveal to me, and he showed me there's hungry people around me. I should pray for people. I should ask him, whom can I give food for? Because he has given plenty to me. So yeah, that was, I'm not going to put Testimony Sunday on today, but essentially maybe if you've put up your hand, just go and think what God revealed about himself or just about society when you did that very thing that you said you did. But so Sermon on the Mount went on. And Retief dealt with verses 5 to 18. But we are still speaking of a God wanting to reward us. It's a strange thing. God, Jesus is speaking to Jews in that time, very religious folk, and he's saying, these things that you are doing that you think will earn your righteousness, if you do it before men, your reward is people seeing you and thinking something of you. But if you do it in secret, I will reward you. So it is, God gives us a singleness of heart, puts a new spirit within us, that so that we want to follow his statutes, want to keep his ordinance, but he also then says, I will reward you if you are doing these things. It is a strange thing where God makes us, but then also rewards us if we do the things that he now birthed in us. And we learned that these very things that we are doing, we've actually been prepared for them. He prepared the deeds before us and for those who should walk in it. So not only are we, I forgot, sorry, this has got nothing to do with the message. Wesley, whilst we were worshiping, I saw you standing between two tent pegs, or pegs. And I felt God saying, I want to increase or remove your tent pegs. It comes to increase your borders, broadening your borders. So whatever tent pegs you are in, he wants to increase them. Amen. These things happen. I forget a lot of things, unfortunately. Kids do that to me. Not them, my brain, I think, does that to me. So we are still, 1 to 18 is about the works that we're doing, and God, we're doing the work so that God can get the glory. This is the main idea regarding 1 to 18. But whilst we are doing these things, God is not primarily considered, you can go to the next slide, actually. He's more concerned about our heart than our hand. Because the action can be modeled without the heart being accompanied. What I'm meaning is you can fake something without being there completely with your heart. You must go to the next slide. I fixed them this time. I know the previous time was a mess, but this time. Anyway, the next, go on. So God looks at our heart because motives matter. Why are we doing things? Okay, no, we need to go back a slide. That is not the right slide. There we go. Just stick to that. You can show it all. I'm okay with that. But motives matter. Like tithing or giving. Why are you giving? Why should we give? We should ask ourselves these questions, like going to sell. Are you going to sell because George has got a lack of vibe? Are you refusing to come into our cell because there's a lot of kids? Like, why are we doing things? We don't just do them for the sake of doing them. There is a motive behind, and God wants us to be clear about our motive. Because our motive will determine what God will do for us in this thing. If your motive is just to go there, if your motive was during worship, just to sing the song because this is what we do before the message, then you would just, then you could have gone to a better band, maybe. Sorry, that's maybe a wrong phrasing. You could have gone to a show, but we were here worshiping a God. We weren't singing just songs, because our motive is to worship him. Otherwise, we would just sing like a songs. This is a silly one. It's like, why are you on the prayer army group? Did you just say yes to Retief because it's like nice to know what to pray for? Or are you actually praying about the things that come up. Because the problem is motives, like we our real heart is displayed in these menial things. It's not in the big things. These very silly things that we think hold no value. They speak of our motives. And we see God, like in the Old Testament, God wanted his people heart, his people's heart. He didn't want them to follow the rules. He wanted them to be holy, to set apart. Holy, giving them their hearts. The reason he gave us rules is because we need to know how to live. They were slaves. We just sung, the Lamb who take away our sin. We are born into sin. They were a nation born into slavery. We need to learn how to live now. That's why he gives us rules or directions or precepts. But he wants our hearts. And Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Because we can trust God with some of our heart and lean on some of our understanding. And then it's difficult to know which is which. Because if you trust on the Lord on some and some on your own, but you see fruit on your own understanding and you don't see fruit on when you follow God, does that mean your understanding is better than God's? We are fruit-based people. Like, we want to see results. But God wants all of our heart and not just some. And it seems, well, not it seems, if we look at Scripture, the heart is the place where our deep things lie. It is where our desires and our affections lie. I think the Augustine of Hippo said, our hearts are restless until they find you. Like, there's our heart, when it speaks of the heart in the Word, it speaks of our affections, our desires, and I got that from somebody else. But our first thoughts, our free thoughts, and our fixed thoughts reside in our hearts. Your free thoughts, if you're just random thinking about something, your first thoughts, if you wake up in the morning, and our fixed thoughts reside in your heart. These are the affections that steer our lives like a rudder. It's easy to fake something on the outside, but our desires, our affections, they guide our lives. We are directed by this heart within us. And to determine where our affections lie, we have to discern, we have to consider, what are we doing? What am I putting my time on? Where is my time going? What motivates my actions? What shapes our aspirations and their rewards? And when we do that, we will find where our heart is. If you spend a lot of time at work, you work a lot, 14, 10-hour days, over and over, your heart rests there. You might say, no, I actually don't like my work. I have to do this. But we will see that there where we are, there our heart is as well. We'll get there. Because Matthew 6 verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. You can say it like, the heart loves what it treasures. What do you treasure? Demi? Family. I know I can answer for you. Family. Do you spend a lot of time with your family? Yes. Much more than I do. Giselle, what do you treasure? Where does your time go to? Only life group. Hallelujah. That's what I want to hear. Do you find value there? Is there, if you do your work well, is there gain there if you do it well? No, we're exposing today. Today is not going to be the easiest message because I got the picture of open heart surgery today because we're shining the light on the things. I will use my life as a tool to expose the way I thought, the way I lived, and where I invested my time in. But I'm not the surgeon. Jesus is the surgeon. But we're exposing, we're putting the light on where am I invested in? Where am I spending my time? Where are my fixed thoughts? Where are my first thoughts going to? Where are my free thoughts going to? Obed, what do you treasure? Work. And also you treasure study or learning, education. Why do you treasure education? So the reason why I'm asking is like I had this discussion with my wife as well, because my wife spent a lot of time outside of work hours working, but she doesn't get paid for that. There's no overtime sheet that can be filled in. So I asked her, but why are you sitting here? Nobody is paying you for that. Why are you doing this? Why are you battling sleep? Why are you pressing in? Why are you frustrated when we eventually got to the answer? She wants to see people's lives change. The treasure is not the money at the end. The treasure is, was my colleague's life changed? Was this child, is he learning something? Is he growing? That's the treasure. That's why there's investment. But like I said earlier, Jesus wants all of our heart, not just some. And for us to love Jesus completely, he has to become a treasure to us. He has to become the great treasure so that we might treasure him supremely. So I'm going to read Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. And we're going to use my life, unfortunately, as a canvas of how to not live and then maybe how to live. We'll see. Thank you, Jesus, for humility. So I'm just going to read Matthew 6 to 19, verse 24. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light in you, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for you will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You should not serve God and mammon. Or it might not work if you serve God and mammon. You cannot. They are mutually exclusive. What I've done, this is actually just me as a teacher for the next slide speaking. God wants us to retain scripture in our heart. Otherwise, it can just be a novel that you're reading. But God's actually, this is fruit. This will give you eternal life. But we struggle sometimes to do that. Because we just read a passage that's got some strange ideas in it. It's not always that simple to translate 2,000 years later. So what I do often, just go to the next slide, I call it the Pietri Voges translation, is where I take text and I make it my own. Because I need to understand what I'm reading. I need to have comprehension. I need to understand how do I make sense of that what I just read. So this is not trustworthy, but it's mine. And what I said, the reason why I'm saying this, there's the three R's of teaching, of learning. First you repeat, then you retain, and then you respond. The three R's, repeat, retain, respond. First you repeat scripture over and over. Then you retain it, then it becomes part of you, and when it's in your heart, you can actually respond to when the situation arises. So the three R's of learning. That being said, don't invest in earthly storehouses. It will fade away. But invest in riches toward God. That storehouse won't fade away. The heart loves what it treasures. If the eye is pure, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are contaminated, your whole body will be sick. If then your understanding is corrupt, how will you make any wise judgment? Worldly gain and godly gain are at odds with one another. Serving one means rejecting the other. It's important to take scripture, and that's why we need multiple translations just to get an idea of what's happening. But make scripture real. It's important to take it to 2019. That is 2,000 years ago. The context is a bit different, but anyway, okay. So, here we are now. The moment is upon me, oh my word. Okay, so go to the next slide. So in grade 12, I had a choice. Either I could go study, or I could take a job. So, and in my eyes that were trained by my parents, and by society, I looked at these options in a certain way. Now, you might laugh at me, but we all feel a bit embarrassed about our decisions 20 years ago. And when I looked at those two options, study meant I had no money. Study meant debt. Study meant no guarantee of a job. Study meant resistance. Things won't be pleasant if I had to study. But on the other hand, the job that was already given to me, or that was going to have, there was money. There was no debt. Freedom. security, more security it seems. And the most important one, actually, but that speaks to me as a person, is harmony. I just want things to be peaceful. I just want peace. And the study thing just didn't look very peaceful. In fact, it just, I would be asking money from my parents. They would force me to work very hard. I would, anyway, they would not allow me to fail anything. It was just, like, I didn't see any joy in this study. But also, like, my parents was like I had this glass on. Just be thankful for a job, Pietri. Hold on to this job. Be thankful. So this is how I looked at this study. Somebody else might see the other two options. You're like, oh, wait, it's like, but why, Pietri? You need to equip yourself. Study. Why did you learn for, why were you in school for so long? I just saw this one thing. Job. And everything else that I could do with this money bank. So, I chose the job. It was very clear. So, choosing the job meant I moved to Vredenburg. I bought a car, got a house in Langebaan. I got retirement annuities. I worked very hard. So you just get stuff. Like it's but that's what it is. That picture there is exactly what when you fill this one with more stuff. That what I saw, I just, like getting the house, getting the retirement, getting partying, just doing what I wanted. I was invested in making my life as comfortable as possible. Because that's essentially what the job meant, and it fulfilled its purpose. Like when that time I was like 22 or 21, 21 is a better one. When I looked at my life, I think this is working out. Like the retirement annuities are going well, house, other people are paying off my house. They paid us ridiculous amounts of money for silly work, unfortunately, but that's what they did. So if I looked at my life, I was like, this is working very well. Unfortunately, you can only do something that does not satisfy for so long. And there was this gnawing thing of going to work and doing the same thing over and over. I'm not knocking doing the same thing over and over. But unfortunately, God made people in certain ways. I cannot do the same thing over and over. But you had the problem that the same thing over and over made this little piggy just more fat. This was a good thing, but this was a bad thing. And the very things that I used, this feeding that pig, didn't satisfy. I wasn't more at peace. I had less peace when I fed that thing, when I did all the things. There was a deep discontent about what and where I'm spending my life on. Like I went from working very hard, it was a steel factory and you work shifts. Unfortunately, in the non-private sector, the guy who does as little as possible gets paid as the same as the guy who does as much as possible. There's no difference in that sector. And literally, I went from just being like working as hard as possible, like to seeing but being disillusioned, essentially. Like once again, I'm holding on to my spectacles where it says, if I work as hard as possible, I will be able to get more of this stuff, to get more of the other stuff. And I was seeing the guy that was sleeping on shift was getting just as much as I was. And then that sum just didn't make sense anymore. So then I changed. I went from working as hard as possible to finding ways to doing as little as possible. There was a time where, okay, I had good relationships with a lot of people, but literally I would come on shift, so I was a, I have time for this. Anyway, so you have molten iron and you have molten steel. To get the iron to this place, you need coordination. You need coordination because these 800-ton things need to be moved and a lot of things. But literally, I knew the people so well at these different places that I would go on shift, sleep, let them do everything, and then just before the end of shift, just write up all the things that are necessary. And I was like literally, that's what I eventually went to. It's this, you live everywhere except at work. It was this thing that you hold all my ideals were in a job. It went from working as hard as possible to, like in 3 years' time, seeing how little I can do to still be effective. Unfortunately, that is what it is. But doing that, like you still have to look this guy in the mirror. You're still confronted with, you are doing this, Pietri. You're still feeding this pig, but is this life? Is this how I'm going to live? Am I going to just do this over and over? And then? So I had to reflect on my life and realize that I treasured fear, that I treasured comfort, security, and my own foresight. Whatever I trusted in, it didn't satisfy. It just left me empty. All of it. So I had to get new eyes. I had to take off these lovely shades. I had to take them off so that I can look at my life and make decisions that might not be comfortable, but at least be faithful. And with my new eyes, I had to be faithful, or what I found is like, I'd rather just do something that I know that will bring value. And in this process, I had to embrace resistance from my parents, because in fact, they are the people who, in fact, coached me very well into this life of getting all these things ready. If you get all these things ready, you have the retirement plans ready, you have the medical age, you have all those things, Pietri. Other people buy your house will be extra income, all those things. If you have them ready, you'll be safe. So these new eyes, I had to embrace resistance from friends and parents, people whom I love, who did not understand that this is not working anymore. And I had to leave the old life behind and go all in. So I left it all. I sold whatever I had. My house, all my annuities, I paid them up, everything I had. I sold it all. I only kept my car and my guitar. But that got stolen immediately when I went to Stellenbosch. So I just had my car. And yeah. So I had the new, so my new treasure was, I'm going to go study math. As weird as that is, that's at least the only thing I know I can do. That's what I did. And I moved. I had to move to another place. I could go on feeding this piggy and try correspondence. The dream is there. The freedom is there. But I'll just be safe for now. I'll rather do the correspondence course over 10 years. And then eventually, when I'm strong enough and financially secure enough, then I can take the leap into doing what God has actually called me to do. But that would not be a new treasure. That would be holding on to the old treasure to satisfy those needs. The renewed treasure required new ways of thinking. I had to go to school for 3 years. I had to learn things that were very difficult for me to understand, and it's still very difficult to understand, unfortunately. There was resistance. Like the life that was simple, easy, came with no resistance. My own thoughts, my understanding, came with very little resistance. New learnings, new thoughts, came with a lot of resistance. And then I had to apply these truths in the world, which caused internal and external resistance. In taking this degree and then having to go and work, starting with half of what I had. When I started again, I was earning half with what I left with when I left Saldana. With a degree. The degree. But it was a new treasure. And I think when we look at how this new treasure changed my life, it is a way we can look at how God wants us to treasure Him. So when we, let's go to the next slide. Maybe this is a better question. Now go back to, come on, this must work. Oh, there we go. Did any of what I just mentioned, like, resonate in your hearts? Like, the things that I did, the things that I struggled with, is there, can you identify with the things that I just mentioned? Okay. Because I know I'm just telling a story, but the story is about how do we allow Scripture to change us? The truth, the eternal words. So now that we have a new heart, God wants us to have a new treasure. We go from Matthew 5, 1, 6 to 1 to 18, the religious things that we are doing, and then Jesus speaks about worldly things that we are doing. He wants all of our heart, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, all of us. So I'm just going to mention these four things. I'm just going through these 4 points. And then, yeah, if there's an area of conviction, let's just deal with it now. So, to go after my new treasure, I had to sell all my worldly gains. Just go to that first one. So have you confronted the old ways that are still part of your new life? Because we agree that we are all new in Christ. We have received Him. But how much different is my life looking from Pietri's life 20 years ago? Do I still have the same things? Or is God my treasure? Where am I feeding? Who is money? Have I just become a Christian with still the same annuities, still the same things that I'm doing? If I am, then how can I say Jesus is my treasure? Because he wasn't my treasure 20 years ago. But if my life looks exactly the same, I only follow him now. Can I really say he's my treasure? Shouldn't there be new ways of thinking, new ways of doing? George gave a car away. New way of thinking, new way of looking at what I'm doing with my finances, the worldly gains. How are our lives looking different to those around us? Stephen? Is your life looking different? Is your life different? But we should consider, where am I spending my time? What am I, if you're watching television, like what are you watching? Is this life that's being breathed in? Or are we watching the same things like the world is watching? The same videos. Have we sold all our worldly gains? I'm not saying this is easy, because I'm confronted with the same things. Jesus, are you my treasure? Because your disciples said, Lord, we've left household, we left families, we left work for you. What have we left? If you have not left something, I think it might be a good time to ask God, what am I still holding on to that is not you? Can we maybe just deal with that for now? Is anybody convicted at the moment? Okay. I just want to pray into that. Let's just deal with them one at a time. Thank you, Lord, that you are the heart surgeon, Lord. That whether it's our money, whether it's our time with family, whether it's the things we look at, our desires for our kids, Lord, come and expose where we're still holding on to worldly gains. Thank you, Jesus, that you are kind in how you deal with us. But confront us in love, Jesus, that we might treasure you. Okay, now point number two. I moved to Stellenbosch. Heavenly citizens are heavenly minded. 1 Timothy 6 can be linked to this piece of scripture. But 1 Timothy 6 says that for us to fight the riches of this world means we must be rich in good deeds. We must be generous, willing to share, be content, be a cheerful giver. Is that part of our lives? Because Stellenbosch came with new friends, new disciplines, new ethics. I had to take up the very ethics that I left, that left me at Stellana Steel, not working hard. Unfortunately, I had to pick them up at Stellenbosch again. And some things we need to pick up and some things we need to let go of. But we are heaven citizens. I'm not saying you should move or you should do what I did. But your citizenship will determine how you act. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do? I'm doing all these things that you like." And Jesus said, "Go sell all you have and give to the poor, then you'll have a treasure in heaven." And I acted exactly like the rich young ruler. Because a treasure here on earth is very comfortable. But a treasure in heaven is not that comfortable. Anybody being reminded now of old ways of thinking that are still in your life? Can I see some hands? Okay, so let's pray about that. Jesus, you are the one who says, Lord, that we must renew our minds, Lord, by your truth, Lord. But we are not alone. Not Demi, not Stephen, not Tia. That our new ways of thinking comes with a spirit that comes alongside us. With a people with whom we can be honest with. Thank you, God, that you change our hearts. You change our actions, Lord. And you will confront us. And three, new ways of thinking were established through teaching. The things I might have been okay in math, but it needed some foundations. It needed some proper structure. And that's what I learned at Stellenbosch. How to think. We can't love Jesus if we're not allowing Him to tell us how to think about things. The new treasure came with new ways of thinking that were enforced through discipline. I had to go to class. Are we still being schooled by Jesus? Is Jesus still schooling us? I know this is long, but these are the key things. If Jesus is not schooling us, if He is not teaching us, how will we think new ways? Because we saw that our heart, the deep desires, that rig ons. But these new desires need to be confronted in love from different angles, and only Jesus is able to see that. But when last have you learned something from the Word? Like, can I just see hands with, like, in this week? Did God reveal to you something new in His Word? Just put up some hands. Yes, Lord. Yes. My word. The Word is alive. It is not a novel. We must sit under its teaching that we might learn to think anew. And then the last one, just go to number four. Living these truths is painful to the flesh, to the bank account, and to your old affections. You are going to face resistance if you treasure Jesus. From your bank account, from family, from the world. But your new way of thinking, your new treasure, your new citizenship will bring a peace in the midst of the storm. That that's able to withstand the storm. But we have to renounce them. Because if I start feeding this one again and just saying, but I'm honoring Jesus, I'm giving God the glory for all the worldly gains I make, am I really giving God the glory? Or is my flesh, my bank account, and the way I live, the things that give God the glory? I'll pray for us. Can we just close our eyes? Jesus, we want to treasure you, Lord. Not because we suddenly believe this new thing, Lord. We know, God, because you say that if we don't treasure you, we will treasure something else. That there where we spend our time, Lord, it grabs hold of our hearts, Lord. And that which grabs hold of our heart, Lord, we serve it. We worship it, Lord. And God, you said we cannot serve you and worldly gain. Allegiance to one is defiance to the other. We want to defy worldly gain and its hold on us, Lord. We want to defy the lies of this world, Lord, the shades that we put on, Lord, through which we are looking, that we see that if our eyes are diseased, Lord, it's not extra light that we need a new heart. You need to shine in us to change our eyes that we might look with a godly perspective, Lord, not an earthly one, Lord. God, give us boldness, Lord, to confront the requirements of a new treasure, Lord. Change our way of thinking. Help our friends come around us in faithfulness and kindness, that we are not alone as we are embarking on new ways of thinking. God, that your name may be glorified in our midst, Lord, as we treasure you above all. Amen.